And let's turn tonight to Exodus chapter 12. Tonight in our study of Exodus, we come to the final instructions for the Passover, the instructions to the people of Israel. When we were last together, we saw the warnings, the judgment that God would bring, and now we see the details and the specific instructions for God's people. We see that Passover is to be, tonight we'll see Passover is to be a perpetual feast. It's a feast that's celebrated by God's people forever. And actually, this morning in our worship service, we observe the Passover feast in its new covenant form, the Lord's Supper. So tonight we'll see the rich connection between the Passover and the Lord's Supper, how this is a perpetual memorial, a perpetual feast, a perpetual statute to be kept by God's people forever. So we'll begin tonight. Exodus 12, verse 14. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and ye shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. As a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month from the 14th day of the month at evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, What do you mean by this service? You shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We ask now that the Holy Spirit would make these words clear, would shine a light on this truth, Lord, because we need your truth. Pour it into our hearts, Lord, and change us by your word. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, tonight we begin with the command to keep the Passover. You'll notice as our passage begins in verse 14, the Passover is really defined by three specific terms. Notice verse 14, the Passover is to be a memorial, a feast, and a statute. So first, for Israel, it's to be a memorial. A memorial being a remembrance. Think of Memorial Day. It's a time where you remember those who sacrificed, you remember those who died in service. Israel was to mark Passover as a perpetual memorial day to remember their suffering in Egypt and remember how God rescued and redeemed them through the Exodus. Verse 14 tells us it's also to be a feast. This Hebrew word for feast, it speaks of a holiday, a special day, a day of celebration. Actually, part of the root word here for feast means to be giddy and to dance. So the idea behind this is that this is a joyful celebration. It's a time of thanksgiving, a time of dancing, a time of singing, giving praise to God for all that He has done. It's a happy time. This feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is one of the three major feasts, the pilgrim feasts, where the Jews would travel to the holy city of Jerusalem every year. So it's a memorial, a feast, and then you see also that the Passover is defined as a statute. Statute meaning a law of God. So God is not suggesting to the Israelites that this is something they maybe should do. No, the Lord is commanding, this is a yearly feast that you must observe. Notice three times in the passage you see the word keep, you shall keep the feast. Another three times you see the word observe, you shall observe the feast. And two times in the passage, the Lord commands those who do not observe and keep this feast in the proper way will be cut off from Israel. So this is serious to the Lord. Now back to the word keep. This word keep in the Hebrew is the word shamar. This word means to guard, protect, and preserve. So the meaning is that this feast, this memorial, this statute that you keep, you are to take special precautions. You're to make significant preparations to keep this day as the Lord's feast. That means you think about it months in advance so that you can be prepared to obey the Lord as He has commanded. Notice verse 14 again. This statute is to be observed forever throughout your generations. Verse 24, keep it as an ordinance for you and your children forever. And then notice verse 25, a special instruction here. Verse 25 says, when you come to the promised land of God flowing with milk and honey, when you come to the land of prosperity, don't forget about where you came from. Don't forget about God's deliverance. Especially when you come to the place where now you've been rescued. Now you're no longer fighting the Egyptians. You're no longer in slavery. When you come to the place of comfort and peace, don't forget what God brought you out of. Even in the land of prosperity, remember every year what God has done. And so the Lord commands His people to take time to remember, take time to reflect upon all of God's blessing, most importantly, His deliverance. Now that's an important word for us even today. Christian, do you take time to remember, to reflect, to look back, to give thanks for all that God has done, especially His work of salvation and redemption? Well, in second tonight, we see the elements of the Passover. Each element of the Passover has extreme significance. And so I want to begin in verse 15 with the first element, which is the unleavened bread. Notice verse 15 tells us, 7 days you shall eat the unleavened bread. Well, why 7 days? We know 7 days is a biblical number of completion. One author writes, 7 days was a long length of time. So this is not just a quick moment of silence to remember what God has done. No, you sit for 7 days so that you can soak in it and you can take extra time to meditate upon all that God has done. 7 days is a long enough length of time that your mind can go back to where you were in Egypt and reflect on all that God has done. 7 sacred days spent remembering the Lord's deliverance. And now notice the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread was bread to be made without yeast. We know that that's because it's bread that's portable. It's bread that can be eaten quickly. In a pinch, if you need something, the bread without leaven would be there. Now look back to chapter 12, verse 11. We remember this about the unleavened bread. In this manner you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So one meaning of the unleavened bread is looking back and remembering the Passover event, where the Israelites were prepared to leave Egypt with haste. Each year they would eat this unleavened bread for an entire week, and they would remember and recall life in Egypt and what it was like. They're to look back. Then there's a second meaning of the unleavened bread. I'm not a bread maker, but bread makers in the room, you would probably understand this. My wife would understand this. For the Israelites, the bread making process continued day after day. Leaven, at least I think this is how it goes, is a little portion of dough that was unbaked, and it would be set aside each day and added to the next day's batch of dough so that the fermentation process would continue on day after day. Each day a little bit was set to the side, added in the next day. When the leaven was added, you know what happens, it would slowly permeate through the dough and cause the dough to rise. Well, we know in Scripture that leaven is used as an illustration for sin and corruption. Luke chapter 12, for example, Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Galatians chapter 5, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." 1 Corinthians 5, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump." So leaven is a picture of sin and corruption. Sin that grows and fills and changes who you are. It changes the very substance of who you are. Sin that becomes a pattern where day after day you keep imbibing and placing more of that into your life and into your heart. So cutting out the leaven, taking out all of the leaven, it is a picture of removing corruption and sin. And specifically here, taking the leaven out is making a distinct break with Egypt. Notice verse 15, "You are to remove the leaven from your house." There is to be no leaven at all, not even a chance, not even a hint. There's no possible way it can get into the dough because it is all out of the house. Now, one author says this: "This is a gesture that symbolized leaving behind all Egyptian influence. All Egyptian influence that might work their way through their lives and corrupt them. The corruption of the Egyptians was to have no place in the life of the Israelites. It was to be taken out of the house and be left completely behind." Now, the same applies to you today, Christian, doesn't it? You are to cut out the leaven of corruption, the leaven of sin, the leaven of the world. What Paul says is true. What Christ says is true. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of the world, a little bit of sin existing in our house. No, we get it out of our house completely. We don't want the influence of Egypt in our house. We take it out. The second element we see in the Passover is the blood of the lamb. Now remember what we saw already in chapter 12. This lamb was commanded to be a male, a year old, an unblemished lamb. And this lamb, they were to roast the whole lamb, to eat the entire lamb. And notice specifically verse 22. "They were to take hyssop and dip it in the blood and touch the lintel and the two doorposts." The blood of the lamb represents sacrifice. It represents substitution. It represents God's means of protection over his people. Verse 23 tells us, "When the Lord sees the blood, he will pass over and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you." Hebrews 11:28 tells us this about Moses, that Moses did this by faith. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer would not touch the firstborn. So the blood, we know, is not magical. It's simply the sign. It's a sign of faith. Faith in God that he alone can provide protection and preservation, that he alone can shelter his people from his wrath and judgment upon sin. Now notice something else about verse 22. The blood of the lamb was in the basin, but it did not protect or provide protection if the blood remained in the basin. It wasn't just enough to slaughter the lamb. You see this? If the blood sat in the basin, it did not do any good. So they slaughtered the lamb, and then the blood, as God commanded, was to be placed on the doorpost. Now one author says this, it's the same with the blood of Christ. His blood does no good for you until by faith you apply the blood to the doorpost of your heart. So we see the elements, and then third tonight, I want you to notice the elders. Notice the role of the elders in the Passover. Remember, Israel at this time was a great nation. That's why they were running into all of this trouble with Egypt, because they had multiplied so greatly, and the Egyptians were scared of how they had multiplied. We read in Exodus that they had a population of 600,000 men. So the whole population of Israel was likely 2 to 2.5 million people in total. So think about how the instructions for the Passover would be disseminated or passed out to each house. These Passover instructions were given by Moses and Aaron to the elders, and then the elders would take them to individuals, to clans and households. So notice verse 21. Verse 21, we see Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb." So see what's happening here with the elders. These men had the task of taking God's word from Moses and then delivering it to the clans. Notice that it was the elders who selected the lambs for their people and killed the Passover lambs. And verse 22, Moses is still speaking to the elders. It was the elders who would take the hyssop and smear it on the doorposts. See the role of the elders? The elders are calling the people to faith and obedience. The elders are giving people God's instruction. It's the elders who are warning people to follow God's word and protect themselves under the blood of the lamb. Now notice Moses placed the clans of Israel in the hands of these elders, meaning he trusted these men. These had to be trustworthy, faithful men. They were delivering and fulfilling an extremely important obligation. They could not just take this message from Moses and then fall down on the job. They had to deliver this news to each and every household. The biblical basis for the New Testament church and elders in the New Testament church comes from this foundational office all the way back in Exodus. Our elders today fulfill the same role. Our elders today are responsible to hear God's word and to lead the people in following God's word. The elders provide a protection for the sheep. They guide the sheep to God's word and encourage the sheep, the people. Protect yourselves under the blood of Christ. And notice verse 28. Notice how the people responded to the leadership of these elders. Verse 28, then the people of Israel went and did so. Notice this, there's no objection. There's no argument. They just went and did so. Clearly, the people trust their elders. They're looking up to the elders and believing that the elders are guiding them in the right way, that these are faithful leaders who are delivering God's word. Now, one application here for the church. Be in prayer for your elders. Be in prayer for your leaders. These are men who are serving you. Men who are appointed by God for your good to guard and protect the flock, just as these men were appointed by God to deliver this news that there is protection under the blood of Christ, so your elders are delivering the same news to you. These men are bearing great responsibility. So please pray for them, encourage them, follow them, support them, trust them. Then we move forth to the command to teach your children. Notice the instruction beginning in verse 26. We read this, "And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.'" So notice, the first lesson here is that God expects your children to see you worshiping and serving the Lord. You notice this? The faith of the family, following God's commands, observing his Passover, his service, and his worship, it is to be visible and vibrant in the home such that the children see it and they ask questions. That's the expectation. It's not something that's just observed out in public once in a while. It's in the home, and the children say, "Mom, Dad, what is it that you're doing? What is the meaning behind this?" And notice, when the children become curious and ask about the service of the Lord, it's the parents' then responsibility to be informed so that they can teach their children the deep spiritual meaning of these events. The parents are to know exactly what's happening so that they can pass it on to their children. The elders, we see, have a responsibility to lead and guide and shepherd the clans. But then within the individual household, it's the family, the parents' responsibility to take the lead. Parents, it's your God-given role to seize the time that you have with your children. You have them in the home for a short time, and then you blink and they're gone. Seize the moment and teach them the glorious doctrines of Scripture. And notice, also we see here in verses 26 and 27, the parents are to teach their children the whole counsel of God. Notice that they are to teach their children about the wrath of God. You see this? That he struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians. You're teaching your children about the judgment of God. And you teach the mercy of God, that he spared our houses. And so the expectation is the full counsel of God, his wrath, his mercy, his love, his justice. It will be taught in the home and passed down to the children. Well, next we see, or finally we see, the perpetual Passover. Notice verse 24 tells us the Passover is to be observed forever. What does this mean? How are we to understand this? This is all the way back in Exodus, many, many centuries ago. How are we to understand that the Passover is to be observed forever? Well, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22. Here in Luke chapter 22, Jesus is observing the Passover, the Last Supper, with the disciples. Luke chapter 22, verse 15. "And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" So notice, the Last Supper with the disciples was the Passover. In verse 19, "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" See what Christ is doing here? Those are familiar words for us. But at this time, these are mind-blowing words for the disciples. "You mean to tell us, Jesus, that the bread that we have eaten for years and years and years, all the way back to the Passover event in Exodus, you mean to tell us that that is your body, that the Passover bread is represented by you?" And then verse 20, "And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Wait, Jesus, you mean it's also not just your body, it's your blood too? The blood of the lamb that was placed on the doorpost, that is represented by your blood? See, here Christ is instituting a new covenant, a new sacrifice. The lamb was pointing to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who was slain for the sins of his people. The blood of the lamb was pointing to the blood of Christ shed for his people. The unleavened bread was pointing to Christ, the bread of life, who is not corrupted by the leaven of sin. He is perfect in every way. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So the Lord's Supper is the continuation of the Passover. That's what Christ is teaching the disciples, what he's teaching us. Until Christ returns, we proclaim his death until he comes. The Passover is to be celebrated. So as it's spoken in Exodus, it will be a feast forever. The Old Covenant saints remembered the life of suffering in Egypt and the freedom of redemption. New Covenant saints, we remember life being born before being born again, suffering under the slavery of sin and redemption through Christ the Lamb. So when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are connected for over 3,000 years with God's people all the way back to Moses. It is to be a perpetual Passover. One application as we close tonight. I hope this encourages you. Notice verse 25. This is the instruction to God's people. Verse 25 says this: "When you come to the land that the Lord will give you, you shall keep his service." Now, these words are spoken before the Passover and before the Exodus. So notice what God is promising his people. You will come to the land. You will make it safely to the land. It is not a question. It's not a shred of doubt. God says, you will make it to the land. You will make it to the promised land. I will see you to the ends. Christian, let that be an encouragement to you. God already knows your end. He already knows that he will bring you safely home to heavenly glory. God has promised it. He will do it, just as the Israelites could rest in God's promises, that he would pass over their houses, that he would bring them to the promised land. So, Christian, you can rest in the promise that God has passed over you because of the blood of Christ, and he will bring you to the eternal promised land. And so we rest in his promise. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we thank you just for this amazing connection in your scripture, Lord, how we have this connection with all the way back to Moses, Lord, with the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And Lord, we thank you for the promise, Lord, that we will be invited and celebrate at the marriage supper of the Lamb one day in heaven, Lord. Help us this week, Father, as we go out to be your good, godly servants, Lord. Give us your strength. Fill us, Lord, so that we can serve you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.